You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a message from CyberBit. Mastering cybersecurity is like mastering a sport. You build muscle memory through rigorous practice, then you train as a team to foster cohesion while operating under pressure. Like athletes, cybersecurity professionals thrive on hands-on simulation. But traditional courses, certifications, and open-source labs won't build you a winning team. You need CyberBit. CyberBit offers a hyper-realistic simulation environment for your SOC, IR, and C-suite to refine your skills, all using the market-leading SIEMs, EDRs, firewalls, and WAFs they use every day. CyberBit is offering CyberWire listeners a free live fire exercise. Sign up your team now at cyberbit.com/cyberwire. Google agrees to delete billions of user records. NIST addresses the NVD backlog. India rescues hundreds of citizens from scam jobs in Cambodia. The UK and US agree to collaborate on AI safety. The FTC tracks an explosion of impersonation fraud. A PandaBuy breach exposes over 1.3 million customers. Prudential Financial informs over 36,000 customers of a data breach. A look at safeguarding sensitive data. Our guest is Jeff Reich, Executive Director of the Identity Defined Security Alliance, with insights on identity security best practices. And a dash of curiosity reveals a hotel chain vulnerability. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us here today. It is great to have you with us. Google has resolved a class action lawsuit dating back to 2020 by agreeing to delete billions of records related to users' incognito mode browsing activities. The lawsuit accused Google of misleading users into believing their browsing in incognito mode would not be tracked, despite the company allegedly using advertising technologies to monitor and collect data on users' online activities, violating privacy and wiretapping laws. The settlement, reached in December of 2023, does not include financial compensation from Google, but mandates the company to delete identifiable private browsing data and adjust incognito mode's default settings to block third-party cookies for 5 years. Additionally, Google is required to remove any data that could make browsing identifiable, such as IP addresses and specific browser details. While Google insists the lawsuit was baseless and that it never associated incognito browsing data with individual users or used it for personalization, the settlement allows individuals to pursue separate damages in state courts. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, faces a significant backlog in processing vulnerabilities for its National Vulnerability Database, the NVD, attributing the issue to increased software volumes and changes in interagency support. NIST is working to establish a consortium to tackle these challenges and has reassigned staff to prioritize critical vulnerabilities analysis. Despite a 20% funding cut, cybersecurity experts have urged Congress to support the NVD, labeling it as a critical infrastructure essential for defending against cyber attacks. NIST's efforts include long-term strategies and increased collaboration to enhance the NVD's efficiency. However, the backlog has led to concerns over the database's current functionality and transparency, with calls for urgent action to maintain global cybersecurity standards. The Indian government successfully repatriated 250 citizens from Cambodia who were deceived by promises of lucrative jobs but were instead forced into cybercrime activities upon arrival, These individuals were coerced into illegal online scams under harsh conditions, controlled by a network involving Chinese and Malaysian operatives. Despite the significant rescue effort, reports suggest around 5,000 more Indians might still be trapped in similar conditions in Cambodia, contributing to scams worth nearly $60 million over 6 months. The case highlights the crucial role of international collaboration in addressing cybercrime and underscores the evolving challenges in cybersecurity, as well as the risks associated with overseas employment opportunities. Investigations are ongoing to rescue more victims and dismantle this expansive scam network. The governments of the UK and the US have signed a memorandum of understanding to establish a unified approach for the independent safety evaluation of emerging generative AI technologies. This collaboration involves the UK's AI Safety Institute and a forthcoming US counterpart, with plans to develop test suites assessing the risks of advanced AI models. They aim to share knowledge, information, and personnel, beginning with a joint testing exercise on a publicly accessible model. This move comes as AI developers like OpenAI, Google, and Anthropic rapidly advance their technologies, prompting urgent action to ensure these innovations are safe. This partnership, the first of its kind globally, underscores a commitment to addressing AI's potential risks to national security and societal well-being. Additionally, it complements broader regulatory efforts in the US and Europe aimed at safeguarding the public from the adverse effects of AI. The Federal Trade Commission reports that impersonation fraud losses have tripled over the past 3 years, reaching over $1.1 billion in 2023. The agency received around 490,000 reports related to business and government impersonation scams, constituting half of all fraud reports in that period. There's been a notable shift in the methods of impersonation, with email and text-based scams increasing significantly, while phone-based scams decreased. The share of fraud involving bank transfers and cryptocurrency payments also rose substantially, contributing to $593 million in losses last year. The FTC highlights a growing trend of scammers impersonating multiple entities within a single scam, blurring the lines between business and government impersonation, complicating the detection and prevention of these fraudulent activities. Hackers infiltrated the PandaBuy online shopping platform, exposing over 1.3 million customers' personal information. The breach, disclosed on a cybercrime forum by threat actors Sanjiero and Intel Broker, exploited critical vulnerabilities in PandaBuy's platform and API. The leaked data encompasses a wide range of personal details, including user IDs, names, contact information, order details, and addresses. The breach, involving nearly 3 million data rows, was confirmed by Have I Been Pwned founder Troy Hunt, who validated 1.3 million email addresses and added them to the HIBP database for affected users to verify their exposure. Despite these developments, PandaBuy has not formally acknowledged the breach, and there are claims of the company attempting to conceal the incident. Meanwhile, insurance giant Prudential Financial has informed over 36,000 individuals about a data breach in early February 2024, where personal details were compromised. The incident, reported to the SEC in mid-February, was promptly identified, revealing unauthorized access to administrative data and employee accounts. The Alf V. Black Cat ransomware group, known for recent disruptions, including a major U.S. health system, claimed responsibility. Following the breach, identified on February 4th, Prudential engaged cybersecurity experts for investigation and response, learning that a fraction of personal data was extracted. Affected data includes names, addresses, and identification numbers. Prudential says that the breach has been contained with enhanced security measures implemented. Although there's no evidence of identity theft or fraud from this breach, the company is offering 2 years of free credit monitoring to affected individuals. Code 42's president and CEO, Joe Payne, writes an article for SC Media that addresses the critical intersection between IT security leaders and legal professionals in safeguarding sensitive data and intellectual property against a broad spectrum of threats, including those posed by insiders. Highlighting findings from the 2024 Data Exposure Report, Payne reveals that despite widespread adoption of data protection strategies, a significant majority of organizations still fall victim to data breaches, underscoring the persistent challenge of insider threats. Payne elaborates on the complexities introduced by the modern workplace, such as the widespread adoption of cloud computing and mobile technology, which complicate data management and security. He references a high-profile case involving Tesla to illustrate the severe legal and financial repercussions that can result from inadequate data protection measures, emphasizing the potential for massive GDPR fines. The article advocates for a collaborative approach between IT, security, and legal departments to develop comprehensive policies that address insider threats while ensuring compliance with evolving data protection laws. Payne suggests three key strategies for mitigating data risk: swift breach identification, achieving complete visibility over file activity, and implementing ongoing staff training programs on data security policies. Payne's insights underscore the necessity for a unified strategy that leverages technology, processes, and education to protect against data loss, while acknowledging the challenges of securing data in an increasingly distributed and digitalized enterprise environment. His analysis provides a valuable roadmap for organizations looking to bolster their data protection efforts in the face of both internal and external cybersecurity threats. Coming up after the break, Jeff Reich, Executive Director of the Identity Defined Security Alliance, has insights on identity security best practices. Stay with us. Every day, your IAM tech debt grows. Your multi-generational services struggle to work together. Building an identity fabric can fix this. It makes all your identity tooling stronger and allows you to connect any app to any service you want to use, with zero coding, zero maintenance, and zero app downtime. Strata's identity orchestration platform separates the identity logic from your applications, so you can optimize existing IAM tools and manage them in a single control plane. Now, every vendor, standard, and architecture work together. In short, building your identity fabric means you can secure your non-standard apps, keep your complex access policies, retire outdated IDPs, and modernize in record time. So build your fabric with Strata Identity and get rid of tech debt for good. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity priorities, and receive a pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. Identity Management Day is coming up on April 9th, and in anticipation of that, I spoke with Jeff Reich, Executive Director of the Identity Defined Security Alliance, and he provided insights on identity security best practices.
The Identity Defined Security Alliance is a nonprofit organization with the mission of raising the awareness of identity and identity security and resulting the security of identities. Now, that may sound like just a repeat of a lot of words, but identity means a lot of things to different people. To you, it means, you know, your carbon-based DNA identity, maybe. To other people, it means your driver's license. To other people, it may mean the chip in their iPhone or computer. And there's a lot of different ways to look at identity. So what we do is raise the awareness of what's out there. And from a consumer perspective, what steps should you be taking and what should you be saying to your merchants and retailers about protecting your identity? And to those retailers and websites, we're saying you're custodians of identity. Here's the sort of things that we believe are best practices you should follow to help protect it. And then we give the same sort of message to the identity providers, and in some cases, standards organizations as well.
And in your estimation, where do we find ourselves today in terms of the various stakeholders having awareness and the tools to properly protect their identity?
So I'm going to give the very muddled answer of it depends and it's mixed. Because, you know, in some ways, consumers, I'm going to start at that end of it, and they're not our main target, although we certainly deal with consumers. Many consumers are still dealing with my identity as my driver's license, even though that's not true for almost anyone. And many vendors, you know, websites, retailers, you know, anyone that deals with consumers or other businesses, in the U.S., they believe when we have information about your identity, we can use that to our advantage. We're going to sell to you. We're going to market to you, that sort of thing. And from an identity provider perspective, many of them are saying, we have a good solution for you to manage those identities, but almost none of them come up with a way to integrate or become interoperable with other identity providers. So there's a lot of good things out there. They have yet to all come together in harmony.
What are the providers aspiring to? I mean, is there anything on the horizon here that could help break through and be kind of a common framework for people to rally behind?
You know, to a degree, I think they may be waiting for that. You know, many providers, certainly not everyone, but certainly some of the larger ones would like to say, well, what I do is so good, that should be the new standard. And, you know, that's no different than operating software for computers. You know, we've seen that battle around for, you know, 20, 30 years. But realistically, they know that they have to, and IDSA provides a safe space for the different identity providers to come together in a room, check your guns at the door, and let's come up with what makes sense so we can all work together. And they're open to that. But everyone's, you know, it's still kind of a, is it technology ready? Do I want to give up my proprietary software or technology to work with this other one? You know, am I lowering my standards by working with them? So that dance is still taking place. Now, on a larger scale, IDSA is a member of CD Hub, which is the Sustainable Interoperability for Digital Identities, SIDI, and working to influence some of the standards organizations and governments around the world to say, if you're going to have a digital wallet to contain identities, at a minimum, consider having this criteria of authentication and standards in place in the same way that with your physical passport right now, you can go to most countries and they're willing to accept that passport as valid because they know the United States, if that's where you got your passport, meets a certain criteria or above to say, yes, they validated who this person is. That same sort of concept needs to occur with digital wallets.
Where do we stand with this influx, this enthusiasm about generative AI? Has that affected your space as well?
Let's see, in the past 10 minutes, maybe not, but I bet it has, and I just don't know about it yet. So yeah, the answer is yes. You know, generative AI, which by the way, I think is a good thing, just like many other tools. But like with many other tools or weapons, you know, some tools become weapons. They're good if they're pointed in the other direction and not if they're pointed towards you. And that's the perspective I take with generative AI. I think there's a lot of good things we can do with it. I think we could expand generative AI, not just deepfakes, because frankly, I'm not a big fan of that. But if we take all the technology around AI and generative AI and start saying, okay, here's the identities that I'm managing. Here's how they operate. Tell me when you think one of those identities has anomalous behavior, doing something that we wouldn't expect it to do. A wonderful use of predictive analysis and generative AI to say, let's start getting in front of this ID may be compromised because it's doing things it's not supposed to do. You know, for the past year and a half, this identity has been used from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time at this geolocation. And now it's 2 a.m. in a location around the world. Should that raise a red flag?
Yeah, I would say it certainly would. How widespread is that capability among folks who are in charge of protecting people's identities? Is that a common practice yet?
Oh, I'd say it's in its nascent stage because organizations are now see the advantage of using it and trying to take advantage of it, but it's still relatively new. You know, it's not very different than if you go back to, say, 2007, when the new buzzword was, oh, cloud computing is going to solve everything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people said, I want to use that, but no one really knew how to yet, or not many people did. And then eventually it became accepted practice. And right now you and I are using the cloud for this podcast. So, you know, that's come a long way in that time. And I think you're going to see generative AI and AI in general take us the same sort of path, although it may be a bit faster than 15 years, because it is a wonderful tool that can do things like predictive analysis for anomalous behavior. Now, the bad guys like it because they can use it to steal identities and compromise identities and attack systems and maybe hold them for ransom because they can use the same techniques. They can use the same anomalous behavior or generative AI to predict what's should be happening and make it look like it's correct. So although that's a use I don't endorse, it's going to happen. That's that which direction is a weapon pointed, right? It's not an arms race, but I do believe that more and more organizations are going to start using AI to help manage their identity and systems. And it's not only just to protect an identity. They can improve their performance. They can, you know, start saying, I don't need as much computing power. They can start directing their customers, their members, people, the identities they manage in the right places rather than having to intercede to get that done. So I'd say 5 years from now, we're going to talk about how much is being used and the new uses we hadn't even considered before.
Identity Management Day is April 9th. Can you tell me about some of the initiatives that you and your colleagues will have in place?
I'm glad you asked. I'd love to talk about Identity Management Day. This is the fourth Identity Management Day, which is hosted by IDSA. We co-host it for the fourth year with the National Cybersecurity Alliance. They're the ones responsible for Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So a large organization that we're happy to co-host with. As you said, it's April 9th this year. It's also co-chaired by Savient. And I want to talk about two other co-presenters. We have a number of sponsors as well, and I recommend everyone go to the website for that. But we have two other co-presenters, Identity XP, which is based in Melbourne, Australia, and the Secure Identity Alliance, which is based in Brussels, but operates out of Paris. And the reason I'm mentioning those two as co-presenters, this year, rather than just Identity Management Day in the Americas, which was very successful last year. We had almost 1,200 attendees, and they represented 93 different countries around the world that attended Identity Management Day. So that gave us the idea to say, let's do Identity Management Day around the world. So Identity XP in Melbourne will start it at midnight UTC, about 10 a.m. Melbourne time on Tuesday the 9th, have a few hours of presentations and sessions. They will also have an in-person event, but they'll be doing everything online as well. Then there'll be about an hour or two break, and then we'll go to EMEA, Europe, Middle East, and Africa, coming out of Paris, and they'll have a full agenda of sessions on your day, and then we'll transition directly from EMEA to the Americas, where we'll have about 7 hours of events, 6 to 7 hours of events. Now, in the Americas, in addition to all the great speakers, and I can talk about one in particular, We also have sponsors, and there's an exhibit hall, which is open three times during the Americas event. It very much is going to feel like an in-person event where you can go to an exhibitor booth and you can click on a button to talk to someone there, or you can watch a video, or you can download a document. And to encourage that sort of activity, there is gamification for the second year in a row. And the more activities like that that you perform, just like, you know, going to a booth and having them stamp your card at an in-person event, the more activities you do, the more points you get. And at the end of the day, we'll take those with the most points and have a drawing for prizes. And that was very well liked last year as well. So our keynote speaker in the Americas, I want to mention that real quickly, is Caleb Sima. He is currently the chair of the Cloud Security Alliance, AI Security Alliance. Previously, he was a CSO of Robinhood and had a senior security role at credit companies, and he's been in the space for quite a while. He's going to be talking about AI and its influence on identity, which you and I have already talked about briefly. So I think that's going to be a great keynote. We have a bunch of other great speakers. It's not to say the others aren't great, but I'm really looking forward to hearing Caleb.
Well, I mean, it sounds as though this year you'll be able to brag that the sun never sets on Identity Management Day, right?
Thank you. I'll give you attribution, but I'm going to use that.
Please, with my blessing. That's Jeff Reich, Executive Director of the Identity Defined Security Alliance. Are lengthy security reviews pulling attention away from your security program? With the largest network of trust centers, Vanta can help you streamline security reviews to win customer trust, save time, and close deals fast. Proactively demonstrate security by showcasing key resources like your SOC 2 or ISO 27001, and provide real-time evidence for passing controls. And when a security questionnaire is required, Vanta takes the first pass for you. Visit vanta.com/cyber to take a self-serve tour. That's vanta.com/cyber. And finally, a vulnerability was discovered in an IBIS budget hotel lobby check-in terminal in Hamburg by an employee of security firm Pentagrid. The vulnerability leaked room keypad codes for nearly half of the hotel rooms. The security flaw became apparent when a user entered a sequence of dashes, dash, 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 instead of a valid alphanumeric booking ID into the terminal. This peculiar input caused the terminal to erroneously display a list of bookings, complete with room numbers and keypad codes, compromising the security of almost half the hotel rooms. The vulnerability surfaced due to what appears to be a bug or an overlooked test function within the terminal's software, allowing for an unusual input form, a string of dashes, to bypass the usual security measures that require a valid booking ID for room and code access. This exploit was particularly alarming because it allowed anyone with physical access to the terminal, particularly during unstaffed hours like nighttime, to gain access to room information, and by extension, the rooms themselves, without needing to provide any form of legitimate identification or booking confirmation. The issue was reported to Accor, the hotel chain operator, beginning on January 1, 2024. Despite initial challenges in communication and Accor's reluctance to handle the report outside their preferred reporting program, Pentagrid persisted with notifications. By January 26th, Accor confirmed the vulnerability's reproduction and implemented a fix. The vulnerability, rated medium severity, affected potentially several IBIS budget hotels across Germany and Europe. Is it fair to say this vulnerability was found due to a security professional having a dash of curiosity? And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. We'll